Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Once again, on tonight, yes, you are now tuned in to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am your host, Brother James Brown, Jr., and yes, we do come to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan, each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But once again, on tonight, I'm asking all listeners, especially for the first-time listeners that have dialed in and those that are listening around the world for the first time through social media platforms, please get your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God on tonight. Deacon Eddie Blakely will be bringing forth part two of his message titled Freedom, Grace, and Responsibility. He will be bringing part two on tonight, so you're definitely going to need your Bibles to follow along. We always open up with prayer, so we're going to do the same thing on tonight. I'm asking all listeners, if you would please touch and agree with me in prayer. The Word of God said, well, there's two or three touching and agreeing that he would be in the midst. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus, your Son, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your holy name because you're truly worthy without a doubt to be praised. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have and hold all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you that you don't slumber nor sleep. We thank you that you are a promise keeper. You're still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people that are being faithful doers of your word and not just hearers only. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Heavenly Father, we come now asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, my in-laws on both sides of my family, from the oldest to the youngest, Deacon Eddie Blakely and his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land that are tuned in on tonight. whether they're tuning on tonight or not. If they're saved in Jesus' name and being faithful doers of your word, forgive them of their sins and transgressions as well, because their word lets us know that all have sinned. They come short of your glory. Lord, that's why we're so grateful on tonight for your son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King, that it's through him we can come to you and be forgiven of our sins and our transgressions, so that our work for you on earth would not be in vain. For this we give you glory, honor, and praise in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the outpouring of your spirit, even on yesterday at Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church, as your children came together, and we came together in laughter, because sometimes Christians need to laugh as well. We thank you for the outpouring of your spirit, and the oneness, and people that was on one accord as the Christian comedians came forth and gave us laughter on yesterday, and also the way we came together on in oneness. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We don't take that lightly or for granted. You said in everything, give thanks unto you because you're worthy. Now, Heavenly Father, we ask that you are moved by your spirit, touch and heal and strengthen all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. We don't have to send you anywhere because we know that you're already there. So touch, heal, and deliver as only you can in the name of Jesus. I lift up my brother in Christ, Brother Rob Mitchell, whose cousin committed suicide 2 days ago. She was in so much pain she could not bear it anymore, so she took her own life. So we ask that you would comfort and strengthen that family in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray and lift up the family of Sister Elise Rutledge in North Carolina as they funeralized her on today. We thank you for her life, and we bless your name. We ask that you would comfort and strengthen that family in the name of Jesus. Not only her family, but all those that have lost loved ones for whatever reasons all over the land. Comfort and strengthen them as only you can. Let them feel your peace, your joy, your strength, even in their hour of bereavement. And let them know, and they can always look into the hills from which cometh their help. Let them feel your peace, Lord, in this day and this hour, that only you can give them, that they would know that you are still worthy to be praised. Now, Lord, we pray that the word will go forth through your man of God on tonight with power. Help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us, that you will get the glory. We pray, Lord, that this message, this word will go forth with power on tonight, that should there be any listeners that's not saved in Jesus' name, they will hear your word and receive it on tonight. They will open their own mouth and confess their sins and transgressions and ask Jesus Christ, your son, to come into their hearts and save them, even on tonight, that you will get the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, once again, we do have another spiritual food for thought, as we always do. And tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to a saying, God is not like phones or computers. He don't do updates. He don't change. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought, God is not like phones or computers. Aren't you grateful? I know I am. He is not like phones or computers. He don't do updates. He don't change. He don't need to change. I'm asking all listeners to please help me say early Happy Father's Day to all fathers on tonight. We know that tomorrow is set aside for all fathers to be celebrated. So we not only want to say Happy Father's Day to our fathers, brother Lord, our fathers have gone on to be with the Lord, or they're still here in the land of the living, but we also want to say Happy Father's Day to our spiritual fathers, those that God has placed over our lives to preach and teach the word of God to us. We want to say Happy Father's Day to them as well. So before we bring forth Deacon Eddie Blakely to bring forth God's word, we're going to remind the listeners on tonight, I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase James_Brown 1558 at yahoo.com or on Facebook. And also, please take note that I do not own the copyright to music or any songs played on this worldwide ministry platform. We're going to go to our music break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Eddie Blakely. He is the Sunday school superintendent at the Morning Star Baptist Church, which is on the east side of Detroit, Michigan, where Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. is the pastor and shepherd. Again, Deacon Eddie Blakely is the Sunday school superintendent at the Morning Star Missionary Baptist Church. So we're going to get ready to go to our music break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to Deacon A. Blakely. Enjoy the music break. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, all ye people, praise ye the Lord. As I foresee it, the word of God lets us know that in everything we ought to give God praise, glory, and honor, because he's worthy to be praised. There is none like him in all the earth. Right now, we are ready to receive none other than Deacon Eddie Blakely to bring forth God's word. Once again, I pray and hope that you have your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready to follow along. After he has concluded with tonight's message, we're going to once again open up the phone lines for any listener that have dialed in. If you have a question for him pertaining to tonight's message, or if you want to give him words of encouragement, you would have an opportunity to do so at the conclusion of tonight's message, part two. So right now, I now yield the mic to none other than Deacon A. Blakely. I yield the mic to you.
Good evening. Father God, we are here once again, as we always are, Father God. We come boldly before your throne, not arrogantly, but confidently, Father God, and as humble as we can be, asking for you to be present with us tonight. Help us with this lesson. Help us with our understanding. Help us with a deeper understanding of your intention, Father God. Father God, we know that you are God, you are our God, and there's no other God before you. There's no other God besides you. Father God, we love you because you loved us first. Father God, we're so thankful that you don't see us the way men see us. You look at the outward. You don't look at the outward appearance but you see us from our hearts, Father God. Father God, we ask you to this very minute, if there's any impurities in our hearts, Father, give us a clean heart. Clean our hearts, Father God. Father God, we ask that you strengthen us in your spirit. Strengthen us in your love. Father God, keep us in your grace. Keep us with your mercy, Father God. We cannot live without it, Father God. Father God, we ask you to, by your Holy Spirit, to strengthen us so that we may live according to your will and according to your design. Father God, we ask and we pray all these things in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Tonight's lesson is going to be the same lesson. I don't know how many are still with us from, I guess it was three Saturdays ago. But it's going to be basically the same lesson, the same title, and we're using the same scripture. But we wanted to bring some other points out that we didn't get out at the last time. But we're also going to go over and do probably repeat some of the same things. But we're going to have some additional points that we want to make. And our lesson text is Galatians. Chapter 5, starting at verse 1 and ending at verse 15. I was going to read it in the King James and the NLT, but to shorten the time so we can have some time at the end, we're just going to do the NLT. It's clearer, it's more clearer, and then we're going to go through 1 through 15, Galatians 5, 1 through 15. And then we're going to try to point out of each verse or each group of verses as we go along.
Amen.
And it reads, starting at Galatians 5, verse 1. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. God, Jesus, work at the cross. Jesus has set us free indeed, but he didn't just set us free to be free, to do whatever we choose. He set us free so that our focus is not on the law. As I said last week, the law is there. It is God's law. It's the law that God gave Moses, and it's there to show us just how much we need a Savior. For the law did not love us. The law didn't care for us. The law was simply the law, and it handed down punishment and reward. When we complied with the law rewarded. And when we were outside of the compliance of the law was punishment. And it was punishment and reward and punishment and reward and punishment and reward. And a life like that, a life lived like that cannot be focused on the cross, on Christ's work at the cross. Verse 1. This verse 2. This is Paul. I want you to know that this is Paul speaking to the church at Galatia. Paul in verse 2 says, listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will he be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the law, the whole law of Moses. Paul is telling the church, this new church, they're just starting to stand up. They're almost like a toddling church, like a 2-year-old. It's just starting and they're forming. And we have more than one fully. We have Gentiles who are coming to Christ. And we have, in this church, we have Jewish Jews who have always been under the law. That was their lifestyle, to try to live according to the law and all of the traditions and the circumcision and all those things that the law forced on them, because nobody could keep the law. And they understood that, but they, the law. And then when Christ came, when the Savior came, Christ came, and he began the church, some of those people, those Jewish people, were so steeped and deep in those traditions of the law that they could not let them go. They couldn't let those traditions go, so they wanted the Gentiles, who were new Christians also, but they were never under the law, and they never kept all those traditions of the Jewish people. They were telling these Jewish Judaizers, they call them Judaizers, because they came into the church and they wanted to add something, add the old law to the new grace. They are now under grace and out from under the law. Jesus came, set them free from the law. But they're still trying to add the law onto these Gentiles. And the Gentiles are rejecting it. And Paul, as he always does, he comes in to straighten the church out. So he's letting them know that the law has been done away with. Not that the law wasn't good and the law should not be observed, but they are not under the law. They are now living under grace, the grace of God, by the work that Jesus has done at the cross. Grace is coming. Yeah. Forgiveness has come. Mercy has come. So now that if we fail to comply with the law, there was punishment. And if we complied with the law, then there was reward. So most of the time, people were always ducking the punishment and chasing the reward. So their focus was not on Christ and not on the cross and not on the Word of God. So now here we are with a new church, with a new doctrine. It's not the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the doctrine of the church now. And Paul is trying to get them switched over to the doctrine of Jesus Christ and to teach that one thing in that church, to preach the gospel. That is their only mission now, is to preach and teach the gospel. Verse 4, for if you are trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Grace came. Verse 4 is grace came, but they're still trying to make themselves right with God. They've gotten that habit of trying to do the right thing to duck the punishment. So they want to keep doing the right thing, but Paul is trying to get them to understand the Word of God, that now grace has appeared with Jesus. And now, it doesn't mean that we don't have to do the right thing, but if we fail, there is no condemnation. There's no punishment. There's grace. There's God's grace combined with forgiveness. You can't separate the two. Forgiveness and grace comes. Forgiveness and grace and mercy comes together. And he's letting them know there's no condemnation now. If we fall, there's no condemnation. But if we really want to depend on the law, then we are cut off from Christ. We are cut off from Christ, and if you're cut off from Christ, you're cut off from relationship with God. Jesus said himself that no man come to the Father but by me. Now, if you cut off the grace of God, then you're cut off from God. It was the same in the garden. We have to go back to, we don't have to, but I'm going to sort of take it back to Genesis. When God was creating, when the Holy Trinity was creating, he said, let's make them in our image. Let's make them in our image. So during the creation, you can see, if you go back and read it after this broadcast, and I go back and read Genesis, the creation, how each and every day God spoke something and that thing came to pass.
That's
Jesus
right.
Christ, in the beginning, Jesus was with God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and every word that God spoke brought something into existence, and each day he said that thing was good. But if you notice the difference, when it came to man, he didn't speak man into existence with his own hands. His hands, being the Spirit of God, formed man. He shaped him from the dust and dirt of the earth. He shaped him and gave him his form. And then he breathed his breath into that form. And that form became a living soul with a spirit that God could communicate with daily. Every day, daily, God would come into the garden with Adam and Eve. Well, let me back up to Eve. Eve was of Adam. She came from Adam, so therefore she was as he was. She was also a soul, a living soul with a spirit, and he came to communicate with them daily. He had a covenant communication with them daily. He walked with them. It said he walked with them in the cool of the day. Each day he instructed them and he taught them, and he taught them his will, and he taught them their purpose. Their purpose, his purpose for them, and they were to carry it out. They were to live it. But they failed. They failed. You all know the story, or you should read it after this broadcast. They failed. And so every human being born after they fail in the garden, well, let me back up a little bit. They failed. And when they did fail, God had told them in the garden that they must not eat of a certain tree. And they were tempted by a serpent or the devil. And they did eat from the tree. And they failed because the devil convinced them that surely if you eat it, surely you will not die. Surely God didn't mean you would die. And right away they didn't die. They lived for years. But in them, that breath that God breathed into that form and made it become a living soul with a spirit that could openly and readily communicate with God back and forth, that spirit was dead to God. So God would not communicate with a dead spirit.
Mm-hmm.
His spirit was dead. And so God no longer walked in the garden with them. But God had already had a plan. And then he made a promise to Abraham that he would be a father of many nations, and that a seed, he had a promised seed, a seed would come out of his, genealogy, and that seed would be a blessing to the entire world, Jews and Gentiles and every nation. And that seed is Jesus Christ. That seed is Jesus Christ. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, then that verse in the Bible that says, whosoever accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior shall be saved. They shall be saved. We shall be saved if we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm kind of getting way ahead of myself here. I think I just read verse 4. Well, if you're trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. This Savior, this seed that God promised Abraham, we are cutting ourselves off from God if we try to depend on anything else other than God, other than God's purpose for our lives. Once we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if we try to depend on anything else for our lives or to make us right in the eyesight of God, fallen from grace. God has said that. His word says that we have fallen from grace. 5. But we who live, I think we went over this last time and we accented the word live, and I said I'm never again going to say walk. Not we who walk, but we who live by the Spirit. We eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness of God. The righteousness God had promised us. Not us trying to make ourselves right before God, but when we accept Jesus Christ and we live by faith, we live by the Spirit and eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness of God. The righteousness God has promised us. He has promised us righteousness, and we will receive it, but we will not receive it by any other means other than what he has said, that it will come through that seed of Abraham. It would be by Christ. And if you are baptized into Christ, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, as I have and most every Christian has, every true Christian has, then you are baptized into Christ. To be baptized into Christ means to be like Christ is an envelope and you're placed in Christ. You're placed in that envelope. So wherever that envelope goes, so you go. You are there. You are with Christ. Christ is with you. You are in him and he is in you. He is enveloping you. I can put it another way. It's like if Christ was a bottle and you are placed into that bottle and the cap screwed down by the Holy Spirit, he screws the cap down and seals you in there. Wherever that bottle goes, that's where you go. If the bottle goes in the ocean, you go in the ocean. If the bottle goes in the grave, you go in the grave. If the bottle goes on the cross, you are on the cross in that bottle. And if the bottle ascends to the right hand of God, so will you be. Well, I don't want to get to the butts yet. Because the title of this lesson is freedom, grace, and responsibility. Because with freedom and with grace comes a responsibility. And it's not God's responsibility. It is us. It is our responsibility as believers to perform certain standards, to perform to certain standards. It is not the law of Moses, but it is the law of God. It is the will of God. It is the standards of God. We must live by those standards in order to remain in grace, remain in the grace of God. What did I leave off? Verse 6. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. It doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or not circumcised. When your faith is in Jesus,
mm-hmm.
Well, here they're talking about circumcision versus no circumcision. But it also, when it applies to us, that applied to those Jews who were circumcised. They were circumcised at the age of 8 years old, 8 weeks, 8 years, I can't remember. Anyway, but that doesn't apply to us. But there are spiritual. He's talking about things here, but we have to look at it in a spiritual way. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's circumcision or anything else that you can point to and say, well, you know, I'm saved because, you know, I'm nice, or I'm saved because I belong to this church or to that church. If you are basing it on anything other than your faith in Jesus Christ, there is no benefit in being in this church or that church, or whether you go to church or don't go to church, or whether you pray, it really doesn't matter. Because what God is looking at is our hearts.
Yes,
where
Lord.
Are our hearts? Is our spirit alive to God? That's what God is really looking at. And the way God can verify or does verify that our spirits are in line with his spirit so that he can come and walk with us the same way he did with Adam and Eve is that the lifestyle we live,
mm-hmm.
the lifestyle, how do we live? Do we live by faith? Are we living by faith daily, not faith sometime or faith this week and faith on Sunday, but faith, our whole life, we have put on Christ. We have put all our faith and all our trust in the Lord and the work of the cross. We have put our faith in that.
Yes,
have we done that, and have we applied that to our lives? Have we applied that to the way we talk, the way we, where we go, who we talk to, how we talk to them, how we live, how we treat each other? Does that exist in our lives?
Mm.
Let's go to verse 7. You were running the race well. Paul talking to the church now. He's saying you were running the race so well. So who held you back from following the truth? So what caused you to stop following the truth? You know how so many Christians, we start off on fire. We're new believers and we start off on fire. And we want to get to that church. Yeah, we want to go to church 7 days a week. And then suddenly we start falling off and falling. Because we hear so many different things till we forget where the focus is. You were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God. I think the point he's making here is it certainly isn't God that causes you to fall off. it certainly isn't God. God hasn't changed.
That's right.
Brother Brown was just saying in his opening that God has not changed. So something else has changed, or we're hearing something else, or we're trying to live according to something else, and that divides our attention. And I think I said in the past lesson that a double-minded person is wrong in all of his ways, not just some. If you are wrong, if you are minded, if you put a wall, a partition in your mind that says God is over here and I got some things I have to do over there on this side of the mind, this side of the wall, and when I get through on this side of the wall, I'll go back on the side where God is, then you are wrong in everything you do. Every avenue of your life is wrong, according to God.
Unstable.
According to God.
Yeah.
According to God's purpose for your life. For he is one. It certainly isn't God. For he is one. For he is the one who called you to this freedom. God is the one who called you to this freedom. So why in the world would God change his story? Why would God send us Christ, send us the seed, send us the one who was to die for our sins and save the world, save us from ourselves? Why would he change his mind and send others to preach false teaching? Why would he do that and draw us away? That was verse 8. Verse 9. This false teaching is like a yeast, the whole batch of dough. 10. I am trusting in the Lord to keep you. This is Paul talking again. This is Paul talking all through, but this is Paul making a statement again. I am trusting in the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge the person, whoever he is. God will judge the person. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you.
That's right.
So he's saying, don't you worry about false preachers and false teachers. It's about you. It's your responsibility to keep your freedom. It's your responsibility to protect this freedom that God has given you, or that you have received through Christ. You are set free indeed. And there's no false teaching or anything else that should be able to sway you. King Jesus Christ has delivered us from the law. But I was making a statement in the last lesson that a man was in prison, and he was there for a long time. He was to be there for a long time. But one day, the warden came to him and said, you've been pardoned. You have been pardoned. He don't know how he got pardoned. He just know he was pardoned. And so the next morning, he found himself outside of the prison walls. He's now free.
That's right.
He's outside of the prison walls. But now, it's up to him to start living a lifestyle that won't bring him back inside of that prison, to stay away from the people who he hung with or ran with that did the kind of things they did that he ended up behind prison walls. It's up to him to make different choices now. He has to keep his freedom. The ward is not going to come out of the prison and try to keep him out of prison or keep him straight and narrow. It's up to him. He has to make choices. He has to start a different lifestyle, the kind of lifestyle that won't bring him back into prison. That's kind of the way we are, that Jesus has set us free. He has delivered us from the law of Moses. He has delivered us from that brutal, vicious law that God did give him, God did give Moses, and Moses did give it to the people, but God, Jesus, set from the brutality of the law. And now it's up to them to keep their freedom. It's up to them to put on Christ. It's up to them. It's up to them to not go back under the law. So he goes on in verse 11. Dear brothers and sisters, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, that you must be circumcised as some say I do, why am I still being persecuted? That's a really good point that Paul is making. He's saying God has not changed. And what I preach has not changed. So why are you listening to those who would come into the church and teach you a different doctrine or preach a different doctrine? That is the doctrine of the law. That is not the gospel of Christ. He said, and he's saying, if I change, because a lot of those early Christians, they really followed Paul, because Paul was assigned by Christ to the Gentile church, or to the new church, period, but particularly the Gentile church where they were Gentile. And they believed Paul, and they followed Paul. They respected his doctrine. Let me read that again. Dear brothers and sisters, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, why am I still being persecuted?
Mm-hmm.
He said, if you are church is not, okay, let's back up a little bit. They are now out from under the law. There's no condemnation. So he's saying there is no condemnation under the law. He said, but why are they persecuting me?
Yeah.
Why are they persecuting me when I'm teaching that there is no condemnation? He's giving them the example that must not be the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of the gospel, the doctrine of the church that Jesus started, the body of Christ. It's not that doctrine. That doctrine would not condemn. It would not persecute. So why are they persecuting me?
Mm.
He's giving them a little more confidence to stand their ground, stand in their freedom. He's because, you know, as we say, if the devil ain't after you, then you're not doing the right thing. You're not living a godly life. If the devil's not after you, the more the devil's after you, the more that should be a sign that you are living the word of God, doing the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go on and finish that verse 11. If I were no longer preaching salvation, if I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended. He's saying this is evidence. You know, if I stop preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and the cross, absolutely nobody would be offended.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of saying, well, you know, when we were about to sign off the last time, a question came through that was saying, how do we know when we're living by faith? If you are not offending, you don't intentionally offend anybody, but sometimes if you're talking and you're communicating to somebody your faith, and they're seeing your lifestyle, and they don't become, if you're not offending anybody, then your faith, your walk, your life live must not be right in line. Paul is saying, my life is in line because everybody's offended.
Oh, my God.
Everybody's offended. Verse 12. I just wish that those troublemakers who want you to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves.
Oh, my.
13. For you have been called to live in freedom. You have been called to live in freedom. My brothers and sisters, you have been called to live in freedom. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Serving one another in love. That's key. That's really key to this new life, this life that we are supposed to live. All the benefits come from serving one another. When you're serving someone else, humbly serving someone else, not serving someone for your own personal satisfaction, so you can go around saying, I did this, I did that, and I did this for those people, and I did this for so-and-so. If you're not doing it for that reason, instead, use your new freedom to satisfy. Do not use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. That's what a sinful nature wants to do. It wants to be out there. It wants to be the big shot. It wants to be recognized, and it wants everybody to look at them and praise them. You want self-praise. Use your freedom to serve others in love. When love is the motive, I love you, I do for you because I love you. I don't need reward because all my reward comes from above. All of my reward comes from above. That's the reward that I seek, the reward from above. I won't do what I do to please or to appease or to get the attention of others so people can think highly of me. 14. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do treat your neighbor the way you would want to be treated. It's simple, like the golden rule. Just treat people the way you would want to be treated. If you find yourself not in a bad situation and you see somebody else in a bad situation, treat them the way you would want to be treated if you were in their situation.
That's,
you know,
right.
Sometimes we can't do all things for everybody, but there's always a time when you can help. When you can be a help, or you can tell somebody something, or offer, be able to offer something. Because if you are living and living that faith lifestyle and living in the spirit all the time, there are rewards and benefits for doing that. You don't seek the benefits, but they come. Because
that's right.
Part of the grace, that's part of God's benefits. When God was walking with Adam and Eve daily in the garden, they were blessed. The ground yielded all kinds of fruit. They didn't really have to work that hard. The ground was producing it. The land was fertile. Everything, they had everything they needed. They had everything. The ground produced everything they needed. And so they could be charitable. They could be giving people. They could give. They could give to those who are less fortunate. And the same as with us. If we're finding ourselves living the lifestyle that God prescribes for us, the Word of God, it's not only a good word, a pleasing word, but it's also fundamental for instruction. It's instruction on how to live a godly life. A teaching on how to live in the Spirit. And we have to get that from the Word. We have to get the Word in more than one way. God calls us to read and to study the Word of God, but He also calls us to congregate together in a church and hear the preached Word. And hearing and hearing and hearing is what faith comes by. It comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. And then there's also another revealed Word. A word revealed from heaven. When you put yourself in the position of living a godly life, living in the Spirit, standing on faith, standing on the Word of God by faith, you find that sometime you'll be in church or something, and maybe the message that day has nothing to do, it doesn't seem to have anything to do with you, but something gets revealed to you in that message. God is speaking, even though that preacher may be preaching out of his heart, there's a message God can deliver to you because
there's
you
confirmation.
Are,
yeah, confirmation through the word. Confirmation
out
through
of the word. Confirmation of the word. And that's called a revealed word. You can get that revealed word, and that's such a blessing when you get a revealed word. Such joy comes with that revealed word, and it gives you power to go out and do what you were commissioned to do and live the way
Amen.
You were to live. It gives you power because Amen. The Holy Spirit comes alongside and empowers you to live in that freedom that Christ gave you. Gave us all.
Amen. Deacon Blakely, Deacon Blakely, I don't mean to cut you off, but we have a few seconds left. And that's a good word.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you because you definitely hit on, you hit the nail on the head with this word on tonight. But due to our time frame, I want to give the listeners a chance to if they have a question for you pertaining to tonight's word, or if they want to give you words of encouragement, before we go off the air, I want them to have the opportunity to do so. Right now, the lines are open for the listeners. Right now, if you have a question for Deacon Blakely pertaining to tonight's word, or if you want to give him words of encouragement, you have an opportunity to do so now. The lines are open. Any word?
Brother Blakely, thank you for that word this evening. Now I have a better understanding of that Galatians 5th chapter. Thank you so much for that great word.
Thank you for listening.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Sister Gwen. Anyone else?
No.
Before we go off the line, anyone else? Well, I do want to say, Deacon Blakely, you have really broken this word down tonight regarding for part two of the subject matter of the message titled Freedom, Grace, and Responsibility. You really broke it down, and I know that I have received some new insight pertaining to this message that you shared with us on tonight through God's word, and I know that I'm not the only one that has received this word. So we thank God for you. We're going to continue to seek God in prayer on your behalf, that you will continue to study God's word, and that you will continue to teach God's word and be the man of God that he has ordained for you to be for such a time as this, that you are not afraid to be a witness for the Lord and share the good news of Jesus Christ. So we just want to say to you on tonight, you continue to study God's word and continue to share God's word with as many people that he gives you an opportunity to share it with, that he, through it all, would get the glory in Jesus' name. So we're not going to close out with a closing song. Yes, we are. We're going to close out with a closing song. I'm not going to do a closing prayer on tonight. We're going to close out with this closing song, Worth Living. Jesus thought your life and my life were worth living, and he came down from the cross, and he from glory to the cross to pay our sin debt with his own sinless and righteous blood, a debt that he did not owe, but he knew that it was a debt that we could not pay. So that's why that's what we thank God for this word that connects with the message on tonight with this closing song, Worth Living. Again, happy Father's Day to all the fathers, and also to our scripture fathers, that our pastors and shepherds, happy Father's Day to all of you on tomorrow. Enjoy your day. Continue to keep the Lord first. Know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
So you clean.